I love that we are a community of faith bursting with different languages and cultures, right? It helps us to feel the passion and the energy of this reading, and thanks to all of you who read. So when you were a kid, what did you want to be when you grew up? Did you want to be a secret agent, a queen, a cowboy? That was mine. I was watching this week. There was a popular YouTube video of a preschool graduation. In the video, the preschools are handed this kind of honorary diploma, and then they walk up to the microphone and they tell everyone what they want to be when they grow up. Of course, it's filled with these adoring parents who are so happy at everything they say. A doctor, a lawyer, a scientist. And then little Jathan Muhar walks up to the microphone. And full of self-confidence, he says boldly, "My name is Jathan Muhar, and I want to be Batman." Outstanding. Always choose Batman. And with that, Jathan Muhar gives probably the most inspiring graduation speech you will hear this spring. Now, while you may not dream of growing up to be the Caped Crusader, all of us have dreams. And sure, for a lot of us, they've matured a bit since we were children. We're dreaming of becoming partner at a firm, making that last student loan payment. Dreaming of our children growing up and going to a great university, starting a family of their own. We dream of bright futures for our families, for our jobs, for our friends. Dream of days when the past doesn't hurt as much. The future will be as bright. I mean, when you think about it, dreaming seems almost fundamental to what it means to be human. And so it should be no surprise to us today that we find a bunch of dreamers at the center of our story. Jerusalem was filled with dreamers and dreams on the day of Pentecost. The streets were crowded as Jews from across the Roman Empire had made their way to the holy city. Pentecost comes from the Greek word Pentecoste, which is the name for the Feast of Weeks. It was the second of the three great festivals in the Jewish faith. People made pilgrimage to Jerusalem. All of Israel had been instructed to gather 50 days after Passover, bring the first fruits from their fields. They would come, they would celebrate God's provision and care, that there would be food on the table this spring, that everyone would have enough to eat. And by the Roman era, the festival was also associated with God's covenant with Israel, with Moses bringing the law down from Mount Sinai. And so as pilgrims came and they began to fill the sanctuary with offerings of barley and wheat, they were filled with more than just dreams of full bellies. They came with dreams that once again, God would be faithful to the people. God would deliver them from oppression. They hoped for the restoration of a free and independent Israel, longing for freedom from Roman occupation as their ancestors had been freed from Egyptian rule. But for a group of about 120 Jews huddled together in a house in the center of the city, they were talking about very different dreams. See, it had been 50 days since Jesus' resurrection, a little over a week since his ascension into heaven. At this point, this small group of believers are still trying to wrap their minds around the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. Still trying to understand what that meant for their lives. How it would change them. As New Testament professor Audrey West writes, the disciples wondered, how in the world can this small band of people with so few resources and lacking a strategic plan testify to the ends of the earth in a culture that is likely to reject its message? Jesus had given this group of followers a grand vision of what the church could be. How was it going to be possible? They were such a small congregation. Their resources were so few. Their budget was tight. Was this all just a dream? And then suddenly, without any warning, everything changes. A space once filled with uncertainty is filled with the sound of rushing wind as tongues of fire descend. The courtyard where the believers were gathered is transformed into a space where God's presence is fully known. Overwhelms the senses. And then Luke tells us that all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. This is probably one of the most famous scenes in the New Testament. It's such an important scene that we've actually memorialized it in our spirit window up here. You see, there are flames, fire. They descend down onto worship. Our children welcomed us here into worship, waving those symbols of God's Spirit. This is a powerful moment in the Bible. And I wonder what it was like to be in that room. What does it feel like when the Holy Spirit just fills a space? Now, some of you here this morning, you have an answer to this question. You grew up non-denominational or Pentecostal in a tradition that emphasized personal and ecstatic experiences of the Holy Spirit in worship. You're used to people standing and clapping and raising their hands when the Spirit overwhelms you. And for others of you here this morning, this is a very foreign concept. You grew up in a very liturgical tradition, Catholic, or the Anabaptist, and this sounds very disruptive to you, right? These traditions, we often emphasize meditation, quiet reflection, right? And I can always spot the difference between those folks as a preacher, I'll tell you that. When I preach in Pentecostal churches, if my sermon is going really well, it's resonating with people, I know that because they start shouting amen, right? If it starts going really well, people are going to start stand up and clapping, right? Now, that's not to say that those of you who grew up in liturgical traditions, you don't engage with the sermon in the same way. Right? You can be very engaged in a sermon. I know that because when a sermon is really resonating with you, you do this. Right? That's you standing up, waving your hand, shouting hallelujah, right? Now, I poke a little fun at us, but you know, at this church, we've long valued the personal encounter with the Holy Spirit, along with a thoughtful faith and inquisitive dialogue. We've deep in our bones the spirit of the church renewal movement. Our identity as a congregation believes very strongly that God calls women and men to unique places of service, and that we must open ourselves up to the movement of God in our lives. And so we have many different examples of us creating space both within the building and at Lost River and in other spaces to allow people the opportunity to hear the voice of God for themselves. We know that how deep well of spirituality is necessary to sustain any healthy thinking congregation. But as Acts teaches us, that deep spirituality, it's not just about individuals, but about the whole community of faith. Notice that Luke writes, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Not some of them, all of them. The Spirit came to empower the entire community of faith. Unlike the old revivals that used to teach that faith was something, just a personal relationship for me, Acts is telling us it is about this whole group of people that our experience of God is bound together with one another. Faith is not just about what God has done in one life, but what God is doing in the whole life of the community. Spirit comes to transform our lives and our relationships together. For the first Christians, this was truly a miracle. Pentecost marks the beginning of something new in the history of faith. Now, throughout the Hebrew Bible, the Spirit of God falls almost exclusively on individuals. Now, we call these individuals prophets. The Spirit of the Lord comes upon the prophet Isaiah to preach good news to the poor. The Spirit of the Lord falls upon Deborah to anoint her a judge over Israel. The Spirit of the Lord makes Jeremiah a prophet to the nations. But in Acts, the Spirit of the Lord is poured out on all. While we often focus on the speaking in tongues or personal conversion here in this story, the great central importance of the message is the Spirit's transformation of this group of people into a community of prophets. The community that had gathered in Jesus' name is now made something that they weren't before. They are prophets of God's word, messengers of the good news of Jesus. And so the first Christians, they saw this transformation within them as a fulfillment of God's promises to Israel. Citing the prophet Joel, Peter will preach in this passage. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. I love the poetry of that passage. It reminds me of the opening lines of an old poem. We are the music makers, and we are the dreamers' dreams. For this gathering of fishermen and housemaids, of farmers and tax collectors, the Holy Spirit fills them with new dreams. Dreams and visions and hope that they can make a difference together. That they have a message to share of good news for all people, that the transformation that begins in their lives can ripple out into the world around them, into all of their relationships. The community finds a new identity. As suddenly they realize they are filled with world-changing power and possibility. The very words of these new prophets will have the power to bring new life, new mercy, wherever they are spoken. A few people have ever taught us about the power of words, as the late poet and activist Maya Angelou. She was a brilliant writer, for those of you who have read her work. She was able to transform her experiences in the Jim Crow South into some of the most beautiful prose. Early on in her life, she learned that words can bring life and death. One journalist remarking about her legacy noted that she was a girl who was raped and did not speak for years after. So cognizant was she of the power of words as to believe they could actually make things happen. And so, with words, she rendered not only her own life visible, but also nothing short of a history of black social movements in the second half of the 20th century and the participation of a woman and women who helped make it happen against a million odds. Angelou used words to fashion out of the pain and suffering of her past a brighter future. And a woman of deep faith, as she believed that her ability to triumph over adversity was rooted in God's work in her life. From the fragments of pain and sorrow, from the brokenness of racism and segregation, the Spirit empowered her to build a life of hope and love that inspired the world. She refused to be reduced by what happened to her, even though she knew she would be changed by it. She reflects in her autobiography, "A person is the product of their dreams. So make sure to dream great dreams. And then try to live your dream." As a community of faith, we are a people filled with great dreams. Dreams of building a world where God's kingdom of love and mercy is lived out in every relationship. We are a people who dream together, not just in the grand theology of the church, but in the very mess of life. The Spirit has brought us together to be a community of faith where we share with each other our deepest dreams and concerns in our lives. We hope that here in this church you find people to love and support you when you dream of healing for a sick parent. People to dream with you when you celebrate the birth of a new child. People to stand with you as you begin that new dream job, that new stage in life. We're a congregation on a journey of dreaming right now, dreaming about the future, about who God has called us to be, what God has called us to do, how our congregation will make a difference in our community. But more than just dreaming in this passive sense, the story of Pentecost teaches us that we are people empowered by God to make dreams for a better world a reality. That we carry inside of us that prophetic word that spoke the universe into existence, that raised Jesus from the dead, that there is world-changing power and possibility inside you and inside this community. Take a look around this room. The people sitting to your right and to your left. You know, gathered in this room is about the same number of people that were gathered on the day of Pentecost. Do you know what happened when they left that room? They changed the world. They went out to every corner. They built churches and hospitals and orphanages. They lived out in their very lives the message of Jesus to everyone, and history has never been the same. I wonder what will happen today when we walk out these doors. Because the same Spirit that it was alive and active in our story in Acts, it's alive and active here in this congregation. We are filled with this world-changing power. We can shape the very history of Fairfax County, the Commonwealth of Virginia, of the nation of the world. What happens when we begin to see ourselves as such? So today, my prayer is simply that you would be a person so filled with the Spirit that you bring new life and hope to every relationship that you have. May we be a community bursting with new dreams, inviting everyone to join in a space where the Spirit's love is felt. Good news of Jesus is made known. May we be dreamers and music makers together.